I'm ready.
Okay.
We'll call the meeting of the City of Savannah Safety Committee meeting to order at 6:30 PM. Obviously, as most of you know, we'll be out at this point. Mrs. Westfall is being excused for a family matter, and she's asked me, as Mr. Bryan, chair, that the Safety Committee meeting this evening, in addition to myself, in attendance of Mr. McKinnon, Ms. Stout from the committee, Mr. Hainum, and Mr. Richardson online. Members of administration are in attendance, Mr. Allen, Chief Storm, Mayor Stout, Mrs. Brining, Mr. Sanford, Ms. Bigelow, and Mr. Silver now, so I'll be announced out for the IT, as we greatly appreciate that. So this meeting is intended, as all of you probably know, to inform members of the committee and other members of the council about the upcoming administration, their thoughts and recommendations on the 911 consolidation, and what operational changes the administration is recommending to us going forward in 2021 and into the future. Probably about a week or so ago, Mr. Adler sent out a dispatch memo regarding the consolidation with a spreadsheet that was also attached. Members of council sent a number of questions in, which Mr. Adler and the chief worked on to try to respond to. So unless there's comments from members of council, I'll refer this to Mr. Adler and the chief to start this discussion and kind of review our alternatives.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just to kind of rehash how we got here, Lucas County voted to move forward with a consolidation of the 911 dispatch operations. That was done through the formation of the COG, the Council of Governments, which this city was represented by the Mayor of White House, which was who City Council voted as to be their representative. Hard to imagine, but it's been a year ago since that occurred. So as part of that consolidation, the initial consolidation was thought to occur in about July of next year because of COVID and everything, all of the delays and inability to meet and that kind of stuff with the pandemic. That's been put off until likely September or fourth quarter of next year, 2021. When that occurs, our dispatch center, as it currently sets, will basically cease to exist. But we do have services that our current dispatch staff provides at this time, as well as services that we would like to switch from our sworn staff to our civilian we have them titled record clerks for now. But that title is not the certainly, we don't know, but that's what we refer to as a policy. Some of the things in the memo, some of the things that the dispatchers currently perform are there as part of the memo. I handed out copies here, I sent them an email, so hopefully Mr. Hainum and Mr. Richardson have access to them. Obviously, from window assistance, somebody walks in the building, they're usually the first people that someone may see that walks in. They do perform some video redaction services. As you can imagine, we don't have, currently we have just the car cameras, and so with the addition of body cameras, that process itself is going to grow a great degree, as evidenced by some things that we've seen already. Some subpoena processing that they do, weekly media reports that they prepare every week. Some records keeping, although that task will be increased a pretty large share. And then any other releases of action, and of course, monthly statistic reports. Those are things that that our staff does already, that if we didn't keep somebody on, we would lose the staff that currently does those things. In addition, we have several things that our sworn staff do, such as some of them are listed there, and that's a partial list, but we didn't want to include each and everything that is going to get done, but included the ones that we think are going to be the larger items and the more time-consuming things and important things. Property room management, running background reports, training records, DARE training assistance, special event coordination. I think this year our count is obviously way down, but I think last year we had over 50.
About 50 total, and then 27 we actually had to ask officers to schedule on the work and stuff that we passed.
So that, and as you can imagine, Mr. Pratt, in case you're associated with the fireworks, just that alone and coordinating the traffic control, if we have to have security, things of that nature, those are time-consuming tasks. Case file maintenance, safety city preparation, and then, of course, grant filing, which we're have Chief Schnorr has tried to increase our efforts in that arena. With mixed success. We've received some grants and unfortunately have been unsuccessful in some others. But if there are grant funds out there, we certainly want to be showing them more aggressively. So, with these proposed changes, we'll be able to switch those duties from the sworn officers to the civilian staff and release those sworn staff to be able to be on the road, in the road patrols, doing either traffic control type activities or out in the community and being in the neighborhoods and or business community and being able to be seen and be seen by both the residents that want to know that they've got police protection. And also anybody that may be here to do bad things or ill things to our community, to see that our police officers are out and about and their window of opportunity is maybe not as great as what they thought for maybe other things. Based on the time that we believe is going to be spent on these tasks, it is our recommendation, and I'll run through the spreadsheet here in a little bit after this recommendation, but it's our recommendation that we move forward with three staff of three records clerks that will staff the police department from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. We believe that this gives us the ability to complete the tasks that we plan to transfer to those positions and at the same time provide the customer service aspect of it, if you will, of people coming to the station. And that's what we've been trying to weigh and try to balance is being able to get everything done that we want to get done with those staff members. But also make sure that if somebody walks into that front door, that we have somebody here as much as we possibly can. You never know when something's going to happen, but you try to hit it during the hours that we have the most traffic coming to that door. Taking a look at the financial comparison, we took a look at several different options. These are three options that we provided to you so that you can see what it means from a financial standpoint. At the top, in the top of that of the page, option one is 5 days a week, having the front lobby open, if you will, 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. with three person staff. On an annual basis, that will be at a cost of approximately $265,540. And in 2021, because we're only going to be looking at these charges for one quarter, that cost is for 2021 is $66,000 and change. The second option that we took at, look at was 5 days from 8 a.m. to 12 a.m., or basically midnight. So 8 a.m. to midnight, we would have four persons on staff, two on the first shift, if you will, and two on the second shift. We would still be unstaffed between midnight and 8 a.m. Those costs on an annual basis are about $340,000, and then, of course, the single quarter charge there. And then we looked at it saying, okay, if we put somebody in the building 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, how many staff would we need to do that, and what's the cost to do that? That would be a six-person staff, because you have to cover, obviously, you have to cover all three shifts, and then vacations and downtime and things like that. We could do it with a six-person staff. The cost for that would be $527,480, and then the one-quarter charge. So we took a look at those three options, and we used some assumptions with the county dispatch consolidation. They have a prorated, not prorated, but a graduated scale, where in 2021, you're going to pay a certain amount. In our case, they're estimating that to be about $480,000. If we had done the full year of 2021, it would have been $480,000. Because we're only going to be able to be doing one quarter, that's going to be basically about a quarter, about $121,000. If you take that county fee in option one, if you take that cost across, you can see that that fee reduces. In 2022, it'd be $339,000 on numbers. 23, $305,000. And then 2024 and beyond, it will be $292,100. None of these figures in this table account for any perceived or programmed salary increases or anything like that. They're today's dollars. But that gradual reduction of our fee from the county correlates to a gradual increase in the fees for the communities that hadn't been paying anything. The county had indicated that those entities that hadn't been paying anything, they wanted to give them some time to get their fees worked into their budget on a total basis. And so there was a four-year step, if you will, for that to occur.
I think council needs to know that is not Sylvania Township. Sylvania Township has been paying for their own dispatching. It is the smaller cities, Waterville, White House, and many of the smaller townships that we will be subsidizing for those years with their lower rates and our higher rate.
Yes.
That's just the way it is. And Kevin, council won't understand this comment, but I think Lucas County should be willing to do the same for our increase in sewer charges that they're proposing as a result of the increased usage. It's the same logic. They should be subsidizing us. I know that that's a breach, but can I bring it up?
Sure. Definitely worth the conversation. And you can see the county fee, you can see if you go down through the three options, those numbers stay the same throughout the three options because the county is... We will pay that graduated fee no matter what. The next phase, the next slide is the city operations. That is maintaining our dispatching service through the three quarters. And then also the fourth quarter fee that you see up above 2021 that we'll be paying the county for their services. So that's three quarters of actual city operations plus the fourth quarter fee that we'll be paying to Lucas County. During the first three quarters of the year, we'll also have the agreement that council just approved, that I believe at the last meeting, for the assistance that we'll be receiving from Sylvania Township. That will total, that's $3,500 a month. So that'll total about $31,500 for the nine months. We will have an after-hours call service. One of the things that our dispatchers has done is, let's say somebody was driving down the street, saw water bubbling out of the ground, or someone came home from work and they had a sewer plug, they would call the non-emergency phone numbers that our dispatch has. Our dispatchers would take that call, and then they would get a hold of our water department or sewer department and get them out to respond to that call. We won't have that because our dispatchers won't be here. So we'll have an answering service. That's actually extremely, it's only about $200 a month for that. So we'll have that expense on top of it. If you take a look at the total cost, that takes into account everything that we believe we can think of. We've got everything included in there. We've taken some savings. We'll have, you know, I think we mentioned in the last meeting, we used to have six dispatchers. One of our dispatchers left and went to Perrysburg. So we're only going to have five dispatchers on for the remainder of time that we have the dispatch office. So we've adjusted our city operations costs for only having five dispatchers instead of six. We've adjusted it that we're only going to be in operation for three and four quarters. We believe that we have everything accounted for, even down to the $2,400 for the insurance service. If you take a look at a three-person operation, 8A to 8P, our total cost is going to be just in excess of $616,000. And if you take a look at our last three actual operating expenses for our dispatch center, the three-year average for that is $631,550. So during the first year, we would actually see a decrease of about just over $15,000. That's much different than the savings the county was projecting for the communities, because they were taking strictly a cost, assuming that you can eliminate all of your dispatching staff, and so you save that amount in your budget, pay them the $292,000, and all of that is savings. That's just not reality. You have to have somebody in the building doing some of the things that the dispatchers have done already in the past. And in our case, which is not the case in the other police departments, but in our case, being able to get some of those duties away from the sworn staff that they've been doing, that's pretty rare. We're essentially the only one in the area that does that, just because our dispatching staff has been so small and so lean. So if you take a look, if you go out through the years, and you know, that won't run through all the numbers, but the first option, which is one that we're recommending, by the time we get out to 2024, when all of the fees will be settled with everybody, we'll have the county fee of $292,000. That three-person staff will cost us $265,540, as indicated above. And we will have a savings of approximately $71,000 a year with that three-person staff. If there was a desire to go to four persons, or there was a desire to have the office here staffed for more hours than the 8A to 8P, then that would result in, ultimately, at the end of the four-year period, that would just result in an additional cost of $3,000. So we go from a savings of over $71,000 to an additional expense of about $3,000 over what our current budget is right now. And then, of course, we go to option three, where we've got a staff 24/7. We've got six-person staff. That would actually cost us almost $163,000 more than what we're currently spending to staff our dispatch. That kind of gives you an idea of where we're at cost-wise when this switch comes into place in September. And we'll also give you an idea of the three-person staff is the staff. Part of the reason that that is our recommendation is because we believe that the duties that we're asking that three-person staff to do, we believe that the duties we're going to be asking our staff to do can be accomplished and handled with the three-person staff. It will be a busy three-person staff. We are putting a lot into these positions. And right now, we have a fairly uncertain, the new redaction services, the new redaction requirements have the potential to add a large workload into this staff. There are some other area departments that are keeping one of their staff members strictly for redaction because of what they're anticipating the time commitment to be with that. Because it's available, what the chief has seen already in some trials that we've run and what other departments are seeing is that because it's available, more and more people are asking for those videos. And because, and as soon as they're asked for, then the redaction services have to kick in. There are things that can't be shown. There are things that shouldn't be shown. And so those are, for us, is kind of an unknown to some degree, but we know that it's definitely going to increase as far as the time commitment and the demand on that position. We have proposed the three-person department partly in thought that we believe we can get everything accomplished with the three-person, but if we see that three-person staff just isn't going to be able to perform all of those duties, we're not going to be able to get everything transferred to them that we need, or perhaps that the redaction services that we talked about is a full-time person, if we just don't have that person available for anything else. I would feel more comfortable coming to council and saying, I need to add a staff person in this department. Here's why, explain the situation, and move forward in that manner, versus going with a four-person office, realizing that the demand just isn't there, and we could have had an increased savings over what we told you. I think it's much better to start small and add if we find that we need to, versus add that fourth position and then find out that we really, really do need that. This is kind of an unknown for us. We know the duties that we're passing. We have a pretty good idea of what our sworn staff spends on those duties. So we're fairly comfortable in those. As I indicated, we do have three positions that we're proposing here that will be full. There won't be much downtime. But we still believe that's the way to go and then move from there should we have to. Some of the questions that have been proposed, what, if any, additional operational duties would be covered by the record clerks if we went from three or four people? The duties would essentially remain the same. We packed everything into these three positions. So if we went to four people, the duties really wouldn't change too much, but it just those duties would be spread among four people. As I indicated, we've had a lot of discussion on how many employees to keep on staff after the consolidation, and it's our desire to minimize those staffing levels in order to realize whatever cost savings we might be able to. If we feel that we need to come back and we need that fourth employee, I will come back with justification for that fourth employee. But hopefully we'll be able to continue as a three-person staff. Second question, Mr. Frye, I think was kind of answered in the first one, so I'll leave that, go with that. Yeah, presumably, if we decided to go with six people, one thing that would occur is a 24/7 coverage. Other than that, what additional duties or responsibilities would be met by increasing from four to six people? The duties would essentially, same thing, the duties would remain the same, be split among six employees. At that point, you know, we may take a look, maybe there's some other things in the city that we'd be able to put into those roles, but that's a pretty difficult thing to do when you're talking police services and then service types. So that sometimes doesn't work. We wouldn't need the answering service, so we'd have somebody here, so that would be something that we could eliminate. Some things that occur, they don't occur that often, that we are having to make arrangements for is if there's a bond needed through the court. Typically, it's a state patrolman brings somebody in and they need to be bonded. That will have to be done. We would have to make different arrangements for that. We wouldn't have to make those arrangements through the staff on the 7th. So, those kinds of things. There are some things that would change, but not anything that gets done on a repeated level or a high repeated level. So. One other thing that we discussed when concerning the countywide dispatchers and non-emergency calls. This is a big, it depends, I put it in my answer. It depends on what that call is and what number the person calls. We currently have what's considered an emergency number to dispatch, which is our 8900 number, and then we've got 8902 and 8903, which are non-emergency numbers. Some of our citizens know those numbers and know that they can get a dispatcher right now. Those numbers will be transferred, the emergency number will be transferred down to the county dispatch center. What we will have to do is to train those people that are used to calling our dispatchers outside of the 911 system, because they know they can get a friendly voice and they know they can get a friendly person. We're going to have to train them that if you want a policeman to respond, you have to call the 911. You have to call the emergency service. Because what we don't want somebody to do is if they call in here and get our records clerks that are doing other duties, and we find out that it is an emergency situation, we're going to have to transfer it down to the emergency station. Because we won't have the ability to call our officers. So we don't want them to call here for us to transfer it down there, and we've lost, you know, 30 seconds or more during that conversation. So there is going to be some education that we'll have to do with those types of calls. If it's a non-emergency call and we're staffed here, then we'll be able to take those and get them to wherever they need to go. If it's after hours, we'll be able to get those to wherever they need to go. But we want to try to get our citizens trained so that only the emergency calls are going downtown. Now, if calls end up downtown that are non-emergency, they will take them, and they'll get them to us as appropriate. But we don't want to. Every call that goes downtown is an incident, and that is going to determine how much we pay for that service to the county in the future. If it's not an emergency service, then we don't need that emergency dispatching service. We don't want to call them down here because then we're paying for something that we didn't really need. So that's a big if. There's going to be a pretty big education component to this, I think. That's something that we'll have to work through both on our end and on the county's end on how to make sure that those get together. if we make the shift to duties from sworn officers to records clerks, what portion of the officer's time would then be moved to increased community presence? That'd have to be an exact figure, but is it 10 hours, 20 hours? Based on some estimates that the chief and the captains have put together on what we spend on some of these functions already, we're anticipating that we're going to be able to free up more than 60 hours a week of our sworn officer's time. So that's 60 hours a week, per week, of additional time that we've got an additional sworn officer on the road, that we've got an additional sworn officer being able to spend with the business community, that we've got an additional sworn officer in the neighborhoods interacting with kids and more residents. So that is a, in my opinion, that's a big plus to this consolidation. I think our sworn staff is what we want them on the road. We don't want them in this building doing paperwork. So I think that's a big plus for us. You asked about training. Is there going to be any training needed for these things? There will be property room management, redaction, the state requirements in the state law as far as redaction is concerned, the leads system. Things of that nature will be additional training that our staff will have to take. It's part of the training budget. We actually increased the training budget this year. So some of these things are planned. But yes, there will definitely be additional training as well. How do other forces of a similar size or larger handle the property room in case file maintenance? We're not aware of another area department, I don't want to say the whole state, another area department that uses sworn staff. Civilian staff handle those duties and all of the other police departments in the area. So we have been, from a dispatching service, we have the 6 staff members. We have been extremely lean in that area for a long time. The smallest department, dispatch department is 10 employees, and that office has 5 civilian employees in addition to this dispatch. So we've been operating extremely lean. These changes have been something that we've talked about for several years. There was a discussion I had with Chief Grovis when he was here. When Chief Schnorr came in, it was one of the things that he wanted to, it was like in his top 10 or 20 things that he wanted to accomplish was to try to get some of these duties switched to civilian staff so that we could utilize that sworn staff. Long-winded tonight. A lot of talk for me, but willing to answer questions, or if you have any questions on, you know, individual duties or something like that, the chief is here as well. So I apologize if I rambled.
Actually, Mr. Allen, that was very informative for myself and I imagine other members of council and members of the committee. So we appreciate that and all the work and effort that the administration, Sub Chief Schnorr and others have put into this. It's obviously something you've given a lot of thought to. I have some questions, but I'll defer those to other members of the committee for any follow-up questions, because I already asked a bunch of meeting counts. So any other questions from committee members? Mr. McCann.
Hi.
I'll throw in a couple. Talking about how we're estimating maybe 60 more hours of officer time that'll be freed up, I'm just curious what the pay difference is between an officer versus one of these new office clerks. Just because, I mean, it's not as a part of these numbers, but in a way that's another value that we could take into account with these numbers when we make the decision.
Sure. Yeah, we will be. We've done some research into what the other departments, other area departments are planning to pay their workers. And we're anticipating the numbers that we've presented to you, we are assuming a pay rate in the neighborhood of about $26 an hour. Our sworn staff, our sergeants, are about
it's a range of about $40 to $44 an hour, depending on the longevity and years of service. These extra duties that we have, typically when you get promoted to sergeant, you take a lot of additional responsibilities, and that's where a lot of these have come from over the years, not having civilian staff, as many other departments have, you know, developed over the years. We have always put that on our administrators, but they're part of my administrative team, but they're the people who run the road control shifts, or they're like the sergeant pack of community affairs. So time that she would be out in the school with her staff, everything, she's taking care of the, just to give you an example, our towed and abandoned seized vehicles. You know, she has to do reports, and a lot of, you know, paperwork is processed in the state home. So you're looking at a, you know, $44 an hour probably average compared to a $26 an hour.
Yeah, that's another benefit in here, though, that we can add to it.
Yeah, that's true.
And then with the three-person option, I'm assuming that takes into account if one person has to call in sick or if there's someone who has to take a leave of absence for a while.
Yeah, those costs, we have overtime, some assumed overtime costs built into that annual cost figure. You know, if somebody ends up having extended leave, you know, we may end up having to, that number may end up being a little higher. Mm-hmm. But we do have it set up to where if our assumption for this is that we can have two people regularly scheduled at 8 to 4, and then one person scheduled 12 to 8. Our assumption is that on known absences, that we would transfer one of those 8 to 4 employees to the 12 to 8 shift. And then during, you know, someone gets sick that day, then we would just have to cover the bill. It was last 4 hours.
I think that covers my question for now.
Thank you, Scott.
My question is for the recommendation for the three staff crew. Are they existing employees today?
It would be our recommendation that we offer this position to the dispatch staff, we would anticipate that we would have those people interested in the positions.
Okay.
Yeah. This is the end of the economics, but I'm sure you're shocked by when you asked about economic questions, but they understand that it may not be at the same pay rate?
Yes.
So, I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
A few other questions. The assumptions for the county fee assume almost all the calls would remain inside the county pocket, correct?
Correct.
The emergency and the non-emergency.
Correct.
So if we swap over some non-emergency calls, that fee may go down slightly, but not materially.
Correct.
And you indicated that 60 hours a week approximately, 60 hours a week of additional officer or on patrol time or other community activities and the like that are being consumed now. The $44 an hour that the chief mentioned, that's fully loaded?
Yes.
So effectively that's the equivalent of $10,000 a year worth of value if we were going to actually go out and hire, assuming we could hire 1.5 officers. It's not a cash benefit, but it's a benefit to the community in a different way, as Ms. Stout was indicating a bit ago. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. That's correct. And the new redaction services, if that starts to become a much more significant issue or thing that we have to address as a community based upon, you know, sunshine laws and those types of things and requests from the public, we were going to see that anyways, right?
That's correct.
And what were we going to do with that body camera redaction requirement without this change.
We would have come, then come to council for...
Bring somebody on board. Okay, so there's a, so you're looking at just pure cash flows here, but there's deferred costs that we're avoiding. Is that a fair assessment?
That's fair.
Okay. Thank you. That handles my questions. Any other members of council, Mr. Richardson, Ms. Ann, Mrs. Cavallini, who has also joined us, any additional questions from you?
I have a question about, tell me about the current call volume between the 8 and midnight and on Saturday. The non-emergency call volume, particularly, later from 8 to midnight and then 10 Saturday. Lucky to work.
The call volume, I will need to get back to you, Mr. Hanum, on that. One thing that I asked the chief to take a look at, and he provided actually dispatch staff had to run back through the records. One of the things that I had to take a look at was how many visits to the lobby or to the police building do we get on a regular basis. And that wasn't something that we had tracked in the past, but we took 2020 data, and we took the 3 months before everything was shut down because of COVID, and we've taken the 2 most recent months when things got somewhat back to normal. Obviously, they're not back to 100%. So we took a look at 5 months of data. During that time, we had 52 visits to the police building during the hours of 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. during Monday through Friday. 8 p.m. and on and weekends during that same 5 month period, we had 5 visits. So that also made us feel more comfortable with the 8-8-8-P scenario. Should somebody come to the need to come to the station. I don't have call volume as I'm standing here, Mr. Hanum, but I can get that.
So we don't have a lot of Saturday traffic or late evening traffic. So my prior concern is, needs of our constituents and if that's a relatively marginal impact on just 8-8 that would be easier. And honestly, going 8-12 5 days a week, I really was curious about what happened on Saturday.
Yeah. It's really pretty minimal. I think everybody kind of understands, it's the weekend and they're not there. People coming to the station at those times, either, it could be something like a domestic violence situation. That could be something that's occurring. But it seems more of those are looking for reports. They're looking for a police report, on an accident that they may have had a couple of weeks ago or something like that. And what my concern, the chief's concern was, was that domestic violence incident, if that were to occur, we don't have anybody at the station. But it's really, with the exception that they're going to get stopped at a door, it's really no different than the situation we have today if somebody were to come to the station for that. Because if somebody comes to the station today and running away from a domestic violence situation, they're going to get to the station and nobody's here. We don't have police officers here. So there's not going to be any. Now our dispatchers will read the situation. A person will run in, and our dispatchers will get taken care of. Now what's going to happen is that person will run in, they'll push the button, that's it at the entrance of the lobby. And that's going to make, that's going to send an immediate call to the dispatch center downtown and handle it in that manner. So time-wise, there's really not that much of a difference between our current operation and what would take place if that were to occur with coming in here. So it's just handled differently.
Will there be any video assessment of somebody pushing a button?
Those are one of the things that we're taking a look at. We're taking a look at what our video needs are. We're taking a look at do we need to set up a different protective, maybe is there some way that we can better protect somebody that might need that when they get here? Those are the kinds of things that we're still taking a look at and you know, may have to make some modifications.
Thank you. Yeah, I'd be interested in going forward. And I think that this person's recommendation is obvious, or I don't think that I can imagine how to go over both sides the sense that I have, but I certainly would like to get a report in early 2022 on how things are going, so that our staff that we need to set it up. And I think it's a long way off.
Sure.
But just put that in the calendar.
We'll do.
Mr. Richardson or Mrs. Scapoli, do you have any questions?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mr. Allen, considering we said it's, we're going to be charged per call, is that button in the near the entrance, is that clearly labeled as an emergency call so that when people are coming to get to the building, they aren't hitting that on accident trying to get in?
That's what we want to modify.
Okay.
Yeah, that's one of the modifications that we were talking about. It's, you know, it's funny that you kind of walk through it. I've been coming here for 9 years, and you know, all of a sudden now I walk into the building and it's like, oh, we're going to have to change that. And we're not sure that she's doing the same thing. So those are the kind of things that we're still, you know, we're working through. We have a local architect on contract on what modifications need be done to secure this building a little better. And so those are the kind of things that we're looking at.
So we don't have to see if you're pushing the button to get built.
Yep.
I have one more question. Have you guys considered whether or not it would be worthwhile to have some sort of lock safe area? I don't know if the best fuel gets turned into a lock safe zone, so when these odd hours happen, if someone comes here to try to find some sort of safe zone, that they're able to enter someplace that they won't freeze or something else, and they can close the door behind them so that someone's chasing them, they can't get in. Is that something?
That's actually one of the things that we have the architect take a look at. Is it a safe room, so to speak, or is it something just as simple that, you know, when they push that button to call the dispatcher, that the outside door slams shut at the same time and keeps that velocity. So it's something like that.
Any other questions from members of council? So, Mayor, going forward, nothing, and this is more informational, correct? So we don't really need to do anything as the state committee members on this, or is there a thought process that we would have a motion to approve this recommendation from administration?
The intent of tonight's meeting was to be informational. However, we have existing employees next door that would be wanting an answer before the end of the year about what their futures hold. So I would not expect an answer or an inclination tonight, but I would think that before the end of the year, and a decision by council whether to accept the safety director's recommendation or one of the other options would be in order.
And in Mayor, in your mind, but in the budget is option one, correct? In the proposed budget?
That's correct.
Okay. So that would take the form of a resolution or in regards to acceptance of the administration's recommendation, what would that look like?
We were supposed to, I would have prepared the ordinance to create the condition of each use of the individual's special education.
What do you think, Lou?
Sorry. I have to prepare legislation and ordinance to create the condition and to change the organizational structure of the police department and provide for the salaries for those employees.
So that would be separate from the ordinances that we would typically do to fund the budget, correct?
Correct, yeah. That, for instance, the most recent positions that council created that and approved were the captains, police captain positions, would take a similar form as that. We would change the organizational structure and then establish the salary.
Okay. Would be a motion.
Obviously, this doesn't happen until the fourth quarter.
Right.
And I think for planning purposes and for the planning of our current five dispatcher employees, the decision by the end of the year or early after the start of the year is the right approach to take.
Given that Mrs. Westphal is chair of the committee is here, if we've got that much time, I'm perfectly comfortable with the administration's recommendation. Can't speak obviously for other members of the committee, but
I am as well.
Yeah, so I think we've got a sense of comfort that obviously, as always, you guys and the administration have done a nice job putting your due diligence together and going through this process. It makes sense, but if we have the time, I would prefer to wait for Mrs. Westphal to make the recommendation for legislation to create these new positions to be advanced.
Would you be comfortable with you're going to make a report to the city council tonight about this safety committee meeting.
Correct.
And perhaps we put on the agenda for our next meeting in 2 weeks this same issue for any follow-up questions or concerns. And at that meeting, Mrs. Westphal could call for the appropriate legislation to be prepared. Does that sound like a reasonable schedule?
I'm perfectly fine with that, Mayor. Is that sufficient time for administration to... Okay. Yeah, I think that's a wonderful solution.
Okay. Very good.
Yes, do it.
Yeah, I think we want to let our three people know what we want to sit on.
Yeah. One last question I do have, just popped in my mind. Do we have a thought process on how you mentioned, Mr. Aller, about educating the public for the calls?
Mm-hmm.
I know we're a long way out from that, but, 9 months does tendency to go pretty quickly.
Yeah.
Are we starting to formulate a plan on how we roll that out to the public to make them aware?
Yeah, I've actually pulled some information already from Toledo's 411 system. They've really kind of done the same thing with that 411 in trying to get the non-emergency calls. You know, the 911 center was taking calls on, our water bill doubled and that kind of stuff. That's not working on 911 center. So they did a big push to try to get those kinds of calls from the 911 center into the 411 information filter. So we'll have some flyers, we'll have some posts on our Facebook and social media. We'll have some bill inserts, that kind of stuff. Maybe do some things with kids in our school programs. And, that's kind of tough nowadays, but we're still trying to do what we can. I've got some ideas. I've taken a look at what some other communities have done with similar problems.
Okay.
So we don't have.
We have time for something in the balance.
Yes, that's a possibility. Yeah. Yeah. That's good. Yeah, no concrete plan or no plan has started to be formulated, but we've been having
great. Any final questions? If not, entertain a motion to adjourn the safety committee meeting.
So moved.
Second.
Seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Okay, we're adjourned at 7:25, and Chief Graham, welcome.
Thank you.